1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I will be going through the whole chapter, so I hope you didn't have any opportunities for things. We should have a buffet. If that's your hungry, if you want, while I'm talking, go and get us a little plate. We'll eat some physical food with some spiritual food.
That's right.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now this sounds good when I'm singing. Not when I'm talking. That one's good. 1 And we'll look down here at verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 2, 1. Brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. So here's Paul continuing on his talk to the Corinthian believers here. He got done, you know, clarifying their divisions, the things they had confused in 1 Corinthians 1. And now here in 1 Corinthians 2, he's going to address really more wisdom. And again, you know, back in their day, you know, the ability to have a debate, to be a good orator was, you know, prevalent for everyone. It wasn't just like one's career, but it was looked at in society that everybody should be able to hold a conversation. That's classical education, right? Those of you in education know classical education. There's three main sections of education, but by the time you're done with that classical education, you should, one of the number one things is be able to hold a debate and defend what you know. Not only that, but be open to understanding what someone else has to say. So it's really cool on classical education. I think the Acta Geneva Academy has a part of that there in Roseburg. But anyway, so this great orating was looked at in the church, was looking at that style and that way of delivery and that way of explaining things as very wise. And they were bringing that type of worldly wisdom into the church, and they were doing the same thing. So they're trying to make the gospel and the church and gifts and different things sound very pleasant and orating. And Paul's saying, don't use that example. Now look, when I came to you and started this church, look at my example, what I brought to you. Now, Paul really opens up here. You don't see a whole lot of big-name preachers today that will mention, when I came to you in weakness and in fear and trembling. I don't know how many big-name preachers are going to say, I'm not afraid, I don't tremble, I'm not weak. And here's Paul, given the mystery of the gospel, Jesus Christ spoke to him, to deliver that mystery of the gospel of Christ in you, Jew and Gentile, together in the church, and now you're going to go out and proclaim that. And, you know, Paul already knew that when I go out and do this, I'm going to be met with opposition. Jesus says, I'm calling you to suffer for my sake, not have royalty, not look good, sound good, and, you know, be sophisticated. No, you're going to proclaim a truth people are going to accept and reject. And you are going to have hard times, Paul, but you just keep on going. I came to you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. He says, listen, when I came to you, all I wanted you to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. You know, when he's going in to establish a first century new, brand new at that time, church, he made it very simple. Not easy, but simple, clear, right? He's going to an area and preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, we're going to learn why that is. We're going to learn why that's important. I'll tell you right now, and we'll dive into it. We'll spoiler right now. Because spiritual truth that God wants you to have cannot come in a great orating of speech. It can't come with sophistication. It can't come from the world. The only way that someone can understand God and what God has for them is to have the Holy Spirit in them. He's going to do a great job right now coming up on the importance of the Holy Spirit. Now, mankind, in their unregenerate state, can intellectually know God. They can know Scripture intellectually. But they cannot have in them wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. They can't have that in them because that only comes in someone through Jesus. That makes sense? There are a lot of unsaved people who say they're Bible teachers. Well, I'm just a Bible scholar. I'm a Bible teacher. And absolutely, they're taking the Bible and they're teaching. That does not mean they're born again. It doesn't mean that God is giving them this wisdom. I can intellectually understand if I'm open to something, right? But he's saying the wisdom that comes from God can only come through Jesus. That is a monumental truth. That is huge. This is groundbreaking because he's saying the culture that you live in cannot offer, has never offered, and will not, cannot offer the wisdom that comes from God because the Holy Spirit is vital for this understanding. That is huge. Because there are groups of people in this church that are looking at the world. It's not saying that they're not wise. It's just their wisdom is foolishness to God's wisdom, right? It's not saying that science is bad and wrong. That science actually proves a creator and a God, right? True science does do that. It's not saying that that's bad, but that wisdom isn't what God has for his people. There's a different kind of wisdom the Holy Spirit gives, and it's for a purpose to do something with that wisdom. It's like, for an example, now I'm going to tread lightly here, okay? So please help us understand what I'm saying. When someone's first instinct when they need quote-unquote counseling, which we call it counseling, it's really discipleship is what it is. And their first thought is to go to an unsaved, licensed psychologist. Why would you go to the world to do that if you're born again? Because the unsaved culture says that they're licensed to deal with your problems. You know how much trust people put into a PhD, a piece of paper, on an unsaved person stamped to get another unsaved person to help born-again believers? It ain't going to work, my friends. Because what they're going to tell you is foolishness to God. They're the orators in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They're the ones that have the wisdom, and they understand the biology, and they understand what makes man tick. Yes, absolutely, in an unsaved state. They cannot help you with spiritual truth unless they are a born-again counselor helping you understand what God has for you between you and God. Does that make sense? It sounds tough, doesn't it? I'm not putting down their wisdom. I'm not saying they're not wise in society. I'm not saying that there are things that they don't know more than I know in the physical realm. But true spiritual truth can only come by the Holy Spirit. Now that is a monumental truth that we have to stand on and go, okay, even though they have that PhD and have gone to a good school and have done all their good works and got good grades, I can't look at that and find confidence in what they have been taught to help me. A psychiatrist is a chemist. A psychiatrist, all they do is monitor medicine. They don't help you with problems. They say, okay, how is that helping you? Right, take notes. They go to their chemist book and they say, well, try this pill and that pill. I'm for medicine. Don't get me wrong. I'm for medicine. But again, let's figure out what's happening before we get on medicine. You know what I'm saying? All right. Now again, I'm all for those things. But when it comes to the spiritual truth of God, you need God, you need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. All right, let's see going on forward here. So the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So when Paul came in, he allowed his life, his testimony, to back up what he was saying. Not the other way around. I'm not letting my life be prominent and my voice be secondary. No, I am speaking prominent and my life is secondary. That makes sense? So I am teaching you, first of all, we're going to talk here in a second. I am verbally teaching and verbally proclaiming and verbally doing something with the truth I've been given. And my life backs up what I am saying. Not the other way around. Not my life shows, stability, and this, and truth, and I want what you have. The natural man does not want what you have in spirit. He doesn't know what you have calmness. That doesn't mean anything. You have peace. You have to tell them about Jesus. Natural man doesn't go, you have Jesus and I want that. They don't do that. It's not in them. So when he comes in demonstration, verse 4, in power, why? Verse 5, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when I come speaking and living an example, you can have the same thing that I have. Not going to be swayed. Someone else isn't going to come in and have higher sophistication than me and be able to debate my belief away. And so as soon as someone has a better way of explaining things, you're going to go over to them because they can explain it better. I understand this. This teacher makes things more clear, and it disproves, Paul, what you say. He's not putting his wisdom on how he's delivering a message. No, it's a demonstration of life and speech and the power of God, which again can only come the Spirit is in someone. Does that make sense? Verse 6. Yet we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Here it is. Although not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. So a mature believer goes, the scriptural truth that Paul is telling me, or the truth that I'm hearing from Paul, and as I'm learning and growing, that is wise. That is wisdom. So a mark of a mature believer will take what Paul's saying and go, I'm resting here. Yep. This is wise. An immature believer, or an unsaved person, so kind of thinking in the same category in some instances, goes, well, I see what he's saying, but I just don't know if I can believe. Or I see where he's going, but what do you have to say about this? I understand intellectually, but I want to hear what everyone has to offer. I see all the religions and what they have to say. I'm just going to sit here and go, okay, I'll hear you out. I'll hear you out. I'll hear you out. I will make up on what I think is right or wrong. Interesting, isn't it? As if we're the authority. Scary, isn't it? When I hear something, and I've heard a lot in prison, we've all lived long enough in our Christian walks of faith that we've heard certain things, right? And you go, oh my goodness. Sometimes it makes us chuckle. Sometimes it makes us kind of laugh. Sometimes we get grieved. Sometimes we get angry. But what's happening is there's an opposing force of what we just heard, right? And we go, no, that's not true. That's not true. Now, how we react is different. But what got it to us is the same. The Holy Spirit said, whoa, not of God. Amen? Not of God. How you come back and react in this case-by-case scenario is whatever, up in our box. But nonetheless, when I heard the Holy Spirit discern that, it goes, nope. As a true believer, we go, no, that's not what Paul said. In the context, right? That's not what Paul said. What Paul says is mature, is wisdom. And I'm okay with that. A lot of our belief system is on faith, right? I cannot see what I am believing. I've never met Jesus physically. I've never seen the Holy Spirit, but I believe. but I believe. I don't need some orator who's fantastic at speech. I don't need some TED Talk person to come up here and explain away my belief system. And his 20 PhDs he has in science. I'm leaving this. All right, we'll keep on going here. Yet we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, although not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Isn't that interesting? The rulers of this age, put anybody in there. Put the Romans in there, put the Pharisees in there, put Pilate, put Herod, put Caiaphas, put all of them in there, right? Nero, whoever you want. Where are they going? To nothing. So he says, even your orators and your government system is going nowhere. Hello! If this was written today, right? When Paul was in America going, and your government's going nowhere. Yeah, it is. You're right. It's just showing more and more separation, right, of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of our culture, and the wisdom of our political system. Even your rulers come to nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Okay, anytime you see that mystery, Paul was given the mystery. Paul, not Peter. I'm all for Peter. He had a perfect job to do. He fulfilled it fantastically. But to the church, Paul was given some mysteries, okay? And the mystery here was given to Paul, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now here it is, ready? None of the rulers of this age knew it, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Read the gospel here from chapter 1. Jesus Christ and him crucified. None of the rulers of this age knew it. Pontius Pilate, Herod, Caiaphas, they didn't know this stuff. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done it. If they would have seen that me crucifying this man would have brought an eternal kingdom in, these guys would not have done that. They wouldn't have done it. They would have said, I'm not, and for me personally, I'm an emotional guy. I kind of feel bad about this pilot at times. It's like, he doesn't want to do it. They're twisting his arm, unless he's guilty, he did it right. But had they known it, had these rulers known that was God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, they would not have killed him. But as it is written, okay, here we go. Why is Paul quoting the Old Testament verse? Let's go back and see after we read. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, what is he quoting here? Does anybody have a cross-reference? Isaiah what?
64:4.
Let's go there. Keep your spot in 1 Corinthians. Let's see, why did Paul say this? Now again, Church at Corinth started at a synagogue, right? Where there were Jews. So there are Jewish believers there. So Isaiah 64 is going to be a verse, Old Testament verse, and all the Jews hold Isaiah very highly, don't they?
Except for Isaiah 53.
Of course, yeah, right? Yeah. That's true. So Isaiah 64, it's a continued prayer, right? Continued prayer here. On behalf of Israel, let's go 64:1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, as when the melting fire burns, as the fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down the mountains, quaked at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides you, and acts for the one, ready, who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness. Here is a continued prayer for God to intervene on behalf of Israel. Now, Israel was doing bad. God allowed them to continue to do bad, to be taken into captivity. Even when the Jews are in their sin, he offers them a way to call out to God to deliver them. Right? There is a time when you can look at your sin. The Jew, I'm talking context of the Jews. There is a time, even as I'm clear in a minute, there's a time when the Jews, even when their heart is cold, hardened, they can look and go, wow, what am I doing? I can now look to righteousness and God will help me. How many times in scriptures do we see that? Where they go to sin and they say, what are we doing with this sin? Let's go to God. Their heart's open to righteousness. That's what Isaiah is saying here. If your heart's open to righteousness, God will do that. So back over here in 1 Corinthians, this wisdom of this world is allowing a hardening or an idea that if I want to see truth, the Lord will allow it to be revealed to me. But if I'm on purpose wanting to go against it, I'm saying, hey, that doesn't sound sophisticated. That doesn't sound wise. That doesn't match up with what my culture says. You're already on purpose not wanting to receive righteousness. Is that am I making sense? But even a wise person can go, hey, you know what? I want to hear this out. I want to hear. I'm looking forward to this. I'll see. I'm open to accepting what they have to say. Which every time you read your Bible, you should approach it that way. I'm accepting to see what you had to say, God. Even if I have to abandon some things, to change some things, to live a certain way, to act a certain way, to be closer to you, I'll do it. So this wisdom here is going to come to those who are wanting righteousness. Now, here's a very beautiful picture. Verse 10. But God has revealed. Some revelation's happening. Something new. Revelation, right? But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. So there is revelation happening. Something new coming up to Paul, the apostles, and these guys moving forward, right? Here it is. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now, if I want to know the deep things of God, the Spirit searches those out. I cannot understand the deep things unless I have the Spirit of God in me. Look at the work of the Spirit. I love how we're establishing early on the Spirit, because they kind of messed it up. And we'll see later on how they messed that up. Hey, first of all, He's going to reveal some things about God to you. For what man knows the things of man? Except the spirit of man, which is in him. So mankind knows mankind, right? He can intellectually look after a god. We see that with many false gods and many, even a creator god or the unknown god, right? But they can't know the deep, true things of God unless the Spirit's there. Likewise, continuing on in verse 11, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I am not going to learn spiritual truth from someone who is unsaved. I can learn what not to do, right? And that's not bad. You know? A good person learns about their experiences. A great person learns by someone else's experiences. So I can look at someone, I can look at fill in any false teaching, okay? Fill in any, whether it's a religious false teaching or a world false teaching. Fill the blank there. I will hear it out. But if it doesn't go against, if it goes against Scripture, I'm not going to accept it. There's no war inside of me going, man, I am now convinced that maybe this is wrong. But I'm not convinced that maybe I'm not saved forever. Now I'm convinced maybe I'm not a bride of Christ. And now I'm convinced the Bible isn't inspired, which is this is a perfect verse to show the Bible is inspired. It was revealed, and we're going to get to that more here in a second. And I'm not sure the Bible is credible. And I'm not sure that all these problems and all these controversies. I don't need you to tell me, an unsaved person, what's true or not in the Bible. Hello. Now, if someone's born again, and they're illuminating Scripture, I'll listen to you. I'll be open. If you say, yeah, I am a born-again believer, I said to Christ my personal Savior, fill in the blank, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, whatever, about Jesus, I will, as a brother in Christ, hear you out. I don't disagree. But the Spirit in you is going to fellowship the Spirit in me, and I'll be open to it. Because we both have the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you call yourself, the denomination. I don't care what your beliefs are. If you're born again, I'm born again, the same Father, I'm going to hear you out. I'm going to hear you out. Now, again, I might not believe what you have to say, but you have the authority, the same as I do. So I'll hear what you have to say. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay. Let's keep on going down here. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Okay? So that wisdom, we have, that's not what we got. But the Spirit which is of God. The Spirit, which, where's it from? God.
Oh man, this is so cool.
Why? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. There are things that are freely given to you. I'm talking spiritual wisdom. Nothing temporal, nothing financial, nothing. There are spiritual deep truths that are going to help stable you as a believer in Christ. There are some deep spiritual truths that God wants you to have that are freely given. Not only does he save you from your wretched self and hell, but he now wants to give you spiritual truths for free. Man, God, just when I think you couldn't do any better, I'm going to get some substance and wisdom for free. I like free stuff. But in order to receive something free, you must receive it, right? I have a prepared heart for righteousness so that I can receive these deep things. We should all have that. So now there's this illumination coming out, okay? Now we, okay, for the given to us, these things also we proclaim, right? So now they have received revelation. They are now proclaiming revelation, which when it's revealed firsthand, secondhand, it's illuminated, right? So we don't have any revelations anymore. Now, we can have illumination, spiritual truth revealed to us for the first time. That's illumination. That makes sense? There's a difference there. I'm not God's not revealing anything new in society, in his world, in his plan. It might be new to me. That's illumination. That's okay. I'm not getting new signs from God. And if you are, let's talk about it. Nothing new is coming. We have revelation, the end. Now, I'm going to learn new things, correct? That's illumination. So it comes in to Paul, and now he is proclaiming that which was revealed to him. I believe we have an obligation and duty to Jesus Christ himself to proclaim that which was illuminated to us. For lack of better words, if you want to use the word revealed, fantastic, use it. Either way, what I have, I want to proclaim. Not in word, but man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's an unsaved man, intellectually willing to understand, or, you know, he's hearing the gospel and he's just going to reject it, right? Because that same unregenerate person can hear and go, I want to be saved, right? It's not foolishness to him. He wants it. Because they're spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual, a mature believer, judges all things. Yet he himself is not judged by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? Another Old Testament verse. Where is it at? Is there a cross-reference in there? 40:13. Let's go there. Keep your spot in 1 Corinthians. You guys are doing good. We're almost done. Isaiah 40:13. Isaiah 40 starts the beginning of the Messiah coming, you know, judgment, tribulation, and all kinds of stuff. Isaiah 40:13. supposed to be a comfort to God's people, the Jews. Let's go to verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out with the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or who as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Right? So God's people are being comforted in knowing that their God doesn't need anybody, any wisdom from anybody else. No one instructed him, no one taught him. He is righteousness. He is wisdom. He is judgment. I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? A Bible promise he has ready, but we have the mind of Christ. We do. Now, it's not saying that God's asking us what to do, but that knowledge on God knowing what to do is now in us because we have the mind of Christ. That is a blessed hope. Man, how much comfort and wisdom is in that? That we have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit is in us. We have been given wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. You have been given that in your position. Now, since you have been given that, you have the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ, never not one time on this earth, God in flesh, asked the Pharisees, Sadducees, Caiaphas and those guys, hey, what do you think I should do here? Hey, help me out. I'm confused. How should I deal with this people? Jesus Christ didn't ask anybody what to do. He knew exactly what he was doing because he is wisdom. He is righteousness. He is sanctification. And that same Jesus with that same wisdom is now in you. Our problem is we have a condition, which is a growing process, right? We're still here on this earth. Paul is focusing on our position, the blessings we have in Jesus. And it's the wisdom from God. You're not lacking anything if you don't want to. He puts it on you. It's been revealed to me. I proclaim it to you. You can't know it because Christ is in you. You're not going to get it in a formal way of speech. Doesn't need to be delivered to you in a certain way to go, oh, I get it now. The Holy Spirit's job is going to teach you. Let him teach you spiritual truth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Not spiritual things with unspiritual things. Spiritual and spiritual. How amazing is that? I have the mind of Christ. I've been given wisdom to me by God because Christ in me. I don't need to figure out what's happening out there, why it's not working, what can you change that? No. I have the wisdom of God right now to say, I have comfort, I have peace, I have wisdom. I know why it's crumbling. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. They don't want to. Now, an unsaved person that wants to, he will receive salvation. He wants to. But a system designed to not see God is not going to see God reveal himself to them. Our system is designed to see the deep things of God that are freely given to us. How cool is that? Every time I approach my Bible, I expect to learn something. I expect to learn something. When I approach the Word of God, I expect revelation, illumination, but you know what I mean. I expect God to show me something. Say, hey, Jesse, You want to search the deep things? I'm going to give it to you. It's not always going to be a magnitude earth-shaking truth. Many times, it's just confirming the truth you already know. Not something new all the time, just more and more confirmation. Yes, yes, yes. Seeing the unity of Scripture, saying the same thing. I enjoy cross-referencing. You guys know that by now. I enjoy seeing unity in here, 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 here. 30 years apart, 50 years apart, going, yes, nothing's changed. Security, comfort, guidance, wisdom, problems, problem solved. Over and over and over. I like that. I see God coming through with people all the time in different circumstances, under different governments, in different eras. I can buy into that. I don't need some formal speech to explain it to me. Because God's telling me, hey, I got this. I got you, and I got everyone around you. Man, such comfort. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We're so grateful and thankful for the truth given in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I really enjoy seeing, Lord, how you gave Paul this wisdom to teach these people in all their chaos and their disarray, how to bring them back so gently to focus on you. But Lord, these same truths apply to us today. We have the mind of Christ to understand wisdom. We don't need the world's wisdom. It's not given to us. Lord, you have given us your Spirit to search the deep things of God. And Lord, the gospel of our salvation is not foolishness to us. It's not hard for us to understand. We get it. We accept it. We love it. We're thankful for it. Lord, allow our hearts and minds moving forward to proclaim as Paul proclaimed things that were revealed to him. Whether it's to another brother or sister in Christ or to an unsaved person, allow us to be diligent with truth that's been revealed to us to tell someone else what we have known. Thank you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.